I hear congratulations are in order, Grandpa.
That is right. That is right. Well, he's been... I finally got to spend some time with my little grandson, Grayson, this past weekend. Oh. And you saw the pictures, right?
Oh, my God, yes. Definitely a little crystal child, if ever I've seen one.
Hmm. What amazed me, and I've been around a lot of young kids and babies, but he just, like, his eyes were just so focused and locked in. Of course, every parent or grandparent's going to probably say that. My baby's the cutest one on the planet, you know? But no, I'm not saying that. What I noticed is that he really seemed to focus on not just myself, but also his father, you know, when he was looking at him. So.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and you could see that in the photo. He just looks through you.
Through
you. That's what they do.
That's what they do. Interesting.
Yeah, so it wasn't just your prejudice toward being a grandpa, you know. It seriously is who he is.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
We'll have to get him on the show sometime. We'll have to get him on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll get him on, too. We'll let him be two at least first.
Yeah, that might, you might want to wait a little bit. So who do you have lined up this week? You told me a little bit about Phil and Elise.
Yes, Phil and Elise Okrand. They're just a lovely couple. They're full of light. And I met them on the land in North Carolina when I went to a dedication that was going on for soul support systems. And they are truly, I'm really delighted to have them on as our special guest. Elise is, she's an artist, and her husband, Phil, is a life coach, business coach, a musician, and a writer. And together, they created this company that was very successful called Mixed Blessings, which was a greeting card company. And today, they are here to share a bit about themselves and their new co-authored coffee table book, Messages to the Heart, Reflections of Beauty and Truth. Welcome, Elise and Phil. It's wonderful to have you on our show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I met both of you, as I said, on the land. And as I listened to some of the things that you shared, I was really excited because it's as if this book has a different spin on it. I heard there are healing effects that are happening with people. And Elise, would you tell us about the painting that was duplicated after a fire destroyed the original along with everything else in someone's home? Do you remember that story? Yeah.
Sure. What had happened was that quite a few years ago, probably about 2 or 3 years ago, A couple was at my space in the Crest Emporium, which is in downtown Asheville, where I show and sell my artwork. There was a beautiful piece there. I call it Mountain Mist, that was framed, and they just fell in love with it. They fell in love with it, and they purchased it for their daughter as a housewarming gift. She was, moving to Boston, the Boston area. And they wanted to bring her something, you know, back from Asheville. Well, so be it. Turn the clock back to, a couple months ago. I got an email from her about the painting. It seems that what had happened was that her daughter was living in a Boston apartment house that burnt down pretty much to the ground. It was, I think, an electrical fire. And she basically lost everything in the house. And the one thing, or one of the, you know, her really prized, I guess, possessions, you would say, was this painting. It just, it was over her bed. It's a very serene picture with the mountains and sort of a pinks and purples. And it really just brings you into a sense of calmness and soothing. And it meant a lot to her, enough that her mom, basically just from, like, memory and tracking through the Internet, found the place where she had purchased it and then went through their website to look through all the artists. It's an emporium of quite a few different artists. Went through their website to see what, like, sort of struck her memory as you know, what the, as what my, you know, my work was there, and then contacted me through through my website after finding my name, and was like, I think this is you. We were in your studio like years ago, and we bought this painting, and it's, just let me know. I'd be so thrilled if I could reconnect with you, and if I could repurchase actually the same piece for my daughter, since she is, you know, she's recovering from this fire, and she'll be moving into her new space, and we'd love to be able to, you know, to give this to her again. So, I mean, I was just so taken back by the effort that she went through, the fact that the painting had meant so much to her daughter, and that she managed to find me. So it was really a beautiful story. We ended up shipping back the piece, and she put it up in her new space, and it was really heartwarming.
Wow. It sounds as if the woman who received the painting connected with it from a soul level. It took her there.
Yeah, it definitely it definitely was able to transcend her emotionally. So there was something within it that she connected to that every day she would see, and, you know, put her in this really good space. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now,
you don't normally, you know, painting leaves your hands as an artist, mm-hmm. and you don't normally know what the impact is of it. And this is a great,
Big
story.
Yes, that's a beautiful story. I think it shows the full magnitude of where people can go with your work. And that is priceless. That's amazing. Now, I also understand that as a child, this I found totally fascinating. As a child, you painted the solar system when you were in kindergarten. You did that.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Art was always in me. I mean, I loved it as a child. I was a very, very, very quiet, moody child, and I think that that was definitely just a way for me to express myself. And you know, that was just one of my fond memories, because my parents kept that painting forever. I mean, you know, till I think we cleaned their house out when they were like in their 70s. You know. They still had that piece. it was very neat. But I did a lot of painting and artwork all throughout my childhood.
Beautiful. At what point did you feel that you were saying to yourself, well, this is something I really need to do as a mission or as part of my purpose?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that was much more recently. I would say it's between the last maybe 5 to maybe 10 years that has really come to be. I think at first I was very practical, like coming out of college, like, oh, you have to have a job and you have to be very practical and it has to be something, you know, that you can, you know, do and be in the real world. So I went into advertising and design, and it wasn't until my, you know, and had kids, had a family, you know, moved to North Carolina and, you know, had a lot of shifts in that way. And it wasn't until the kids were a little bit older that I felt like I had this space in my life. And I also felt that creativity was becoming more of my focus. We had built the card business, and I had been very involved in the design process and the creating of the product. But I just felt like I needed just a free sense of creativity with fine art that you know, that came back to me. And I had always loved pastels. I had been involved in a bunch of different types of, mediums and, you know, experimented with that. But I always loved something about pastels, and there's just, for me, I wanted to be able to come back to that medium and explore with that. It represents, and I can use it in a way that it sort of has this sort of more magical, sort of fuzzy, you know, sort of feel. Some of the work that I'm doing, and I just like to have that sort of like that feeling, you know, within me and within what I, you know, what I want to bring out to the world.
It's interesting you described it that way, because when I viewed your work on your website, I had that feeling. It felt very magical. It felt otherworldly, and it could only be done in pastels. So I just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Yes, beautiful. Hey, TJ, do you have some questions?
Yeah, I just, you know, I've been looking on the website while you were talking, and you do a lot of landscape, beautiful stuff, inspiring. And I'm looking at this one with the moonlight one that really is cool. And and the mountainous ones and the lakes and drawn to those things. Do you feel that something is working through you, or that you're tapping into something else when you paint, when you get inspiration?
I definitely get inspiration by natural beauty. And I start out by taking photographs. So I'm actually at all of these locations, photographing, sort of taking in whatever emotion sort of, you know, it brings me. Then I pretty much go back into the studio. And what I'm trying to do now is really take that emotion from within me, but also just let it flow and sort of like just capture it on paper, but try to pull away a little bit from like having like exact replicas of what I'm photographing. So there's this emotional, component that I can sort of get and feel when I'm in the studio. And I mean, the best thing is if I can get to the place where I'm not quite even sure what I'm painting, but just sort of. It's just allowing it to happen. It takes a while for me to get into that. I don't immediately do that. I mean, I tend to be a little bit more literal when I start out. But as, you know, as like my time working on the piece continues, I can sort of add that whole like emotional component into it. And, you know, for some reason, I never really like consciously thought about it, but what seems to always be flowing, because people use the same words always to describe my pieces, is sort of sense of serenity, sense of peace, you know, sort of a stillness or a calmness. And, you know, and when I hear that, it makes sense to me, because that's sort of the things that I definitely, you know, just working on and wanting to be, you know, within myself. So, you know, it sort of comes together in that way.
And you feel that the work that you've done with these, and you've already heard back from different people, but it really is like almost like on a deeper part of their soul that connects with this, especially the way you do it, because what you're drawing from, they can feel this. And you know, I used to live in a city where you didn't get out to nature as much as you'd like. And I just love the fact that I would have these kind of paintings around me, because it just, the essence that you felt, maybe from the artist or whatever they were drawing from, obviously a real picture in this case, but also drawing from another place that exists in all of us. You feel that way when you paint?
Right. Definitely. And I feel that that there's a yearning for that within a lot of people.
So it's like
I've just seen people from all walks of life and all ages that tend to relate to the themes or that the feelings that my work portrays.
And why do you think that is, Elise?
I just think that's just in general in the world. I think people are in any way they can, if they can, yearn for that quiet place. We're just, you know, we're overridden with technology, we're overridden with pressure, we're, you know, of just daily life, we're overridden with, you know, whatever issues, family, money, whatever issues we all have, you know, relationships. And, you know, everybody wants that moment, that space to just sit back and reflect. And, you know, I think my art can, you know, I have a calling for that. You know, it's like, just sit back, reflect, you know, take your time. Hmm. And, you know, I think that's just a common issue out there.
It's like we're searching for our soul is kind of the way I look at it, you know, and our soul is, a lot of time we're trying to find ourselves, and nature, you know, kind of brings us back to it. That's the way I've always felt. I don't know how you feel about it.
Definitely. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, that is the place where I think where most people can feel at their best, in a sense, or where they can feel a sense of openness and space. That they need to reflect on, and that they also can see beauty in the world.
Hmm.
See a lot of beauty.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really, really nice paintings. Really, really, I love them.
Thank you.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And every time you look at it, you're struck by the beauty and the sense of calm and magic too. Every single time I looked at one, it's amazing work, Elise. Now, I know you said that you started to really focus on your art like 5 years ago, about then. Is that when you and Phil started working together on your projects?
Well, we had worked together on projects in a much longer time span than that. Our first real creative project was the greeting card business, and it was really a combined effort of, you know, and in a sense, it was something that led to the book, because it was, mm-hmm. and once again, another effort of sort of, you know, art and words. But it was in greeting card format, and it was also in a much, much different vein. It was much, you know, cuter and funnier, and then it brought in some elements of peace and diversity as well. So we started working on the card business. I mean, and since then, that really led to working on, we did a children's book that was related to the greeting card business called Blintzes for Blitzen. Phil produced 2 CDs with his music, and you know, that I also worked with him on as far as the cover art and bringing the projects all together. And, and then we've done, just numerous other small things together, you know. So it's been a long journey of really combining our talents, you know, and creating products, really.
Beautiful. Now, I do have a question for you, Phil. I saw that that you used to be an attorney.
Yeah, I laughed. It's true.
What a leap.
Yeah.
How'd that happen?
Well, I think that, you know, many times when we're younger, you sort of like led into things, and you may not know yourself very well, or you may trust the judgment of others, your parents, and so forth. And I sort of went into the mode where my brother had gone to law school, so I went to law school from college, even though I majored in psychology in college. You know, I was really not. I mean, I was much more a creative person, or right brain person, and it was apparent to me when I was, you know, practicing law and doing that it wasn't really where I wanted to be for the long term. And, you know, we went, basically the greeting card company, which was an accident, at least drew a design for two friends who were dating. One was Jewish, one was Christian, and it was around Christmas time, so Elise drew a design of a Christmas tree merging into a Star of David, so it was like an intricate card. There was nothing like that at the time, and I just saw, wow, what a great idea, and let's try to make this work. And we did. And it was like a leap of faith, but I really didn't want to, I just knew that that role of a lawyer was not, was really not for me. And I guess it was something that, well, even though I was able to finish it and pass the bar and all that, so I had those skills, but it really wasn't my calling.
No. Isn't it amazing how following your heart takes you on totally different roads? Isn't that wild? Yeah.
It takes you into a lot of unexpected places, and I think it took us into a journey, not only a journey of thought and a journey of physicality. I mean, we moved, I mean, from originally from being from New York, and now we're, you know, here we are in Asheville, North Carolina. Who would have guessed? It's just, you know, you start off one way, and then when you go into this journey where you're sort of going into the unknown or trusting your, this kind of journey that's your spirit, I think, is taking you on, it's like you don't know where you'll be, but I think you end up where you're supposed to be.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I call that going into the void and creating something from nothing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it sounds like your gift for writing, was that with you most of your life?
Well, I think so. I just, I've always sort of been introspective and journaled and expressed thoughts, and I think they come out poetically many times. So I was sort of writing in a poetic, I guess, style way before I rewrote this book. And but I wasn't doing, it was just for myself, really, just sort of like processing. So I think that the writing has always been with me. I think it's always been inside me. And I think with the book now, it's really coming out where, you know, people have said you're a writer, and, you know, and I suppose that it's something that it's just something that I know I can express. I mean, I think that what is people are inspired by the words. It's sort of it's allowing me to express people's thoughts that many people may be thinking, but they don't really know how to say it. So people are struck, I think, sometimes by the thoughts or the words that I convey, because they're really going through these changes in their own lives, and they don't really know what to call it.
Go ahead.
No, these passages sort of, I think, viscerally connect to them or speak to them.
Absolutely. I was going to say, I read this, one of the prose that you wrote was the one about going within, and I thought that was beautiful, and the combination of the pastel and the words literally drew you deeper in. It gave words to the pastel. It was just beautiful.
Right.
That's just one thing I read. You're really...
Is that one with... So it was a pond with fall colors, and it was about going within. If you want love, look within. If you want peace, look within.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Yeah, and the thing was, the pond had the reflection of the trees around it, so it was all about seeing yourself, seeing your own reflection, which ultimately, as you know, draws people to their own light. And I think what I was witnessing and reading and feeling was a journey to find your inner center in both the words and the pastel, which is lovely. It was just beautiful.
Nice. Thank you.
Moving. Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for writing this, and thank you for your artwork, Elise. It's just, it's amazing. Now, I do have a question, as of course I usually do. I want you to know that.
Right.
Why this book now, though? What specifically is it that you're responding to that made you want to write this book now?
Well, it's sort of like one of the passages in the book, which is about destiny, and I'll read you that, and maybe we could discuss it from that framework. Mm-hmm. Let me find it for a second. Here it is, purpose.
All right.
And it's a lovely scene. Elise has a beautiful pastel there with a dome of a, it's sort of like a little village, but the sky is just calling you forth. The sky, the clouds, the different shades. It's just brings you into, I think, yourself. But anyway, the passage reads, each one of us has a purpose, a destiny. A destiny. We each have a time when that purpose will manifest. You cannot choose that time. That time chooses you. It is your job to recognize when that time is calling you. You cannot prematurely put your actions into motion when the time is not right, for then it is just your ego wanting control. Listen for the time and then act. You will know when it is time. And I think it was just this book's time.
Mm-hmm.
As though I had been writing, expressing words for a while to people, you know, putting it out there, and Elise had been painting. And there was definitely a healing aspect, I think, for both the words and the art. And we may not have been consciously thinking about a book, but it was as though a combination just occurred where, I think this was like a Facebook post where I posted one of these passages and I just wanted a picture to put with the words, and I saw Lisa posted a painting and I just joined it. And it was just, there it was. And it was just like, that's calling us.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that that's going to speak to a lot. I just knew intuitively.
Mm-hmm.
This would touch people. This would sort of speak to people and allow them to remove themselves from their preconceived notions about how life should be,
mm-hmm.
and bring them to a true place which is inside of all of us, and we just have to let it out. And I think that what I see is that this book is a way to release people. It's a way to free them.
Mm-hmm.
And a way to give them a sense that, you know, sort of like a sense like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to even give up everything that you thought you had to do or be and just follow your heart and follow your soul's guidance. And I think this book allows people to dream about that and to even put it into motion.
As you're speaking, what I'm also feeling is that you're responding to something within you, maybe something that was chosen before you were born. The choice was made then. What do you think?
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, I think that makes sense because, you know, even when I look at my traditional family, I'm certainly the oddball. I mean, the misfit of and it's sort of like, even though I was supposed to go into a certain direction, it was something inside me that wouldn't let it happen,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't let me go into that very predictable direction.
No.
So I do think that, even though I struggle with that at times, which is surrendering to this, like you'd say, this intuitiveness or this call,
mm-hmm.
You know, I struggle. I have struggled with that, but I believe that in the end, that wins out.
I get what you're saying. Or I think you're on the phone with four people in the same neighborhood.
Hmm.
You know, and they're all four of us. I feel that the urge to move and live beyond the confines of what we may have been told. It's not that we broke from a box. It's that we were never in one. And
yeah.
then you're free to create from your own soul that way. The thing is to never buy into what you heard. But I think the words that you use inspire people to go to that place. And it's put very lovely. It's very reflective, very heartful. And it feels as if you're writing, and of course, in conjunction with the pastels, Elisa's pastels, that there's a frequency that gets set off that I feel opens doors. And it's wonderful work. Hey, TJ.
Yes.
Do you have a question or two?
I wanted to ask Phil, because you were an attorney at one point. How long were you an attorney?
Really, I would say about 5 years or so.
And so, changing lifestyle, guessing that you probably, it was a bit of a struggle financially, shifting gears like this?
Sure. Yeah, sure.
And so, that takes a lot of courage, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was at a crossroads in my life at the time where I was driven by two things, desperation and inspiration.
And
I think those two,
have
inspiration being at least drawing that design, that greeting card design that sort of set my future in motion. The desperation was that I was sort of not happy, I guess, living the life of working, 80 hours a week and, charging billable hours and not being able to leave the office till 7 or whatever because it was too early, to leave before that. Just sort of playing that game. I just felt like that game was going to lead me to misery. So when Elise drew that design, I was just, this is an opportunity. I just saw it as an opportunity to really change it. And I think that I didn't overthink it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just sort of did it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, because that's a good, really good question, and you must have taken courage, but I didn't really look at it that way. I just sort of looked at it like, well, this is I'm just going to do this,
Right.
And I didn't think too hard about it.
Well, I also want to ask both of you that, did you feel in this journey to get where you're at now, and it's still expanding, but were there signs that you kind of got along the way or feelings or just knowing, because, it takes a leap of faith, especially for you, Phil, to do this. So, because people are listening going, well, I'm kind of stuck right now. What do I do? And did you get signs or feelings, or what happened?
Well, I think as you put one step forward, which is really interesting. I mean, there was a wonderful quote by Martin Luther King Jr., which is, "You don't have to see the whole staircase. You just have to take the first step in faith." And I think that's really what it is. It's like one step. Once you take that step or that leap, that first step, that first step leads to the second step, even though you may not even know what that second step is. But you're being set up for the next step once you take that step. So I think it's a question of trusting that you may not know the entire picture. You may not see the entire picture, but you see that step in front of you. And you just take that one step. And you just go that way. And I think that once we took the step with for example, with the greeting cards, we saw that the response was leading us forward. The response was so positive, and the response was, and I know along the way, because we did this company, we started this company like 20 years ago, so it's been a while. But I knew that from other people and from other things. It's just that doors, there were green lights.
Okay.
And the green lights kept saying go, go, go. And whether it was a store who loved the product and they sold out, or just the response that we were getting. It's happening with this book now as well. I mean, every time we go out with the book, people are loving this book and people are buying the book. I mean, we haven't printed huge quantities of the book. We actually have been doing it small quantities at a time, but every time we put it out, they seem to be moving. Mm-hmm. And people are responding. And I think the best thing is when we see people personally, when we go to art fairs, for example, with Elise's art, and we just mention the book, and something just sparks in another person where they say, I want this. You know? And so you always see signs mm-hmm. on some level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if his book wasn't working, we would know that. But it is working, and basically, it's brand new. I mean, it's only been a few months since we put it out, and it's still so much, I think, to travel with the book, because I think that the response that we are getting showing that, wow, the book can be really enjoyed and help a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think I definitely agree with that. That's
One more thing about making a shift and going within and trusting, because Phil had mentioned, you know, you have to sort of trust what you're doing and who you are and what you want to be doing. And it's for me specifically, it's been a long journey. It is not like I just decided I was going to, you know, come out with all my art and it was going to be flowing for me. I mean, I started doing my art because I wanted to, like, cover my walls in my house. I mean, I didn't even show my art for many years. I was like, this is mine. You know, it's all me.
Mm-hmm.
It's all me. And it took me many years of progressing to being comfortable with my art, to being okay about doing my art and appreciating that that's also a job or can be a job in a sense. And working through all of that creative sort of process to be able to put my artwork up on a wall for the world to see and judge too, and plenty of people judge it one way or the other, and be okay with that, you know, be okay with it. So it's like Phil said, steps, one step at a time, and then going through the process and finding either other people or observing how the whole, you know, how it all works, you know, together for you personally.
Elise, I hear your journey was one of literally birthing yourself and feeling safe enough in the world to show the world your own soul. Because art, poetry, writing, it's all an aspect of soul. And I feel it takes great courage to step out from something familiar. And as a woman, I feel it takes great courage to step out and stand in the power of your own soul. So to me, my heart tells me you're very congruent in your journey, that you tend to find a way to make these leaps together. So it makes what you do successful, in that what you do is come forward in the balance of the masculine and feminine, which magnifies your ability to manifest what you want to create. It's a whole balance thing that I'm feeling. And I'm really excited because, you know, this is proof that the masculine and feminine can dance together and create wonderful babies. And you know I really love babies, so this is really exciting. So this is really beautiful. And I know, TJ, do you have another question? I'm like over here.
I just wanted, you know, when I listen to him talk, the biggest thing I get out of what they've done, I mean, I'm reading a little bit on the website, even though it's kind of small, some of Phil's words, and they do seem to touch you, and they come from another place, or a higher place, or whatever you want to call it, inspiration, where it comes from. But the journey is what's fascinating to me, and I, you know, all of us in our life, maybe we don't always take that door when it's there, or maybe we're afraid. And that, to me, was the part that, how do you get past that? And you just stepped right into it. But is there a part of you that you really knew that this was where you're meant to be?
Well, I think that both of us are, you know, I think we're honoring the creatives, the fact that we're creators and we're creative people, and that's really, and we know that about each other, which is that creativity is one of our greatest strengths. Is to be able to share that creativity.
And you've had this since as a child. You felt that way as well, in some way or another.
You know, I knew that, but it wasn't. And I think which is interesting about both of us, we do come from a similar background, in the fact that our parents were more traditional, and they were more, you know, pretty conservative people. And they weren't encouraging us to pursue careers in the arts, you know. That was the furthest thing. And I think for us to be where we are now shows that, you know, we've been working on that, which is overcoming that mindset. And, again, I think, you know, Elise talks about her as an artist in a very humble way. I mean, she's just a great artist. I mean, I could talk about her and say that, you know, because it's, you know, she's not saying it, but people are just really moved by it, and I think that you know, she has one of the things that was really interesting is that she has some paintings up in the hospitals, and they actually put it right in the operating room, so that when patients go in there, you know, they have this sense of calmness. So that just shows the healing effect. And the healing effect of creativity. I mean, creativity, even beyond, I mean, just can really move people in a way that other things can't. It's just not, and I think both of us believe that, and we believe that our whole lives, otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we're doing. We believe that creativity has a higher power. And I feel that in a sense, like even, you know, coming from being a lawyer, I mean, I believe more in that, in the power of creativity than the power of law. So that's my philosophy. I just believe it's more visceral. I believe it can change lives and for the better. And removes that sort of ego, sort of, I mean, in a way, and I talk a lot in this book about really, you know, removing the ego barriers and being authentic. And once, you know, again, if you see a pure piece of work, you just move by it.
Well, that's something that got me very excited when I heard how creativity was being used as a healing tool, too. I thought that was amazing. And I have no doubt that the people that go in and are getting operated on are really feeling calmer when they look at your work, Elise. And this is just... really, you've been a fascinating, just about an hour together, maybe a little less. I know we'll have to end soon, but I just wanted to check and see, Elise, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Well, this has just been a wonderful conversation and exploration. I mean, you've even have allowed me to understand, you know, what people are feeling about the book and, you know, and expressing that in a really wonderful way. So I really do appreciate that. And, I think that the future of creativity and healing is just something that's really exciting and really wide open right now. So it really does touch me in a lot of ways, and just looking for other ways to really to use it.
Beautiful. And Phil, is there something else you wanted to add?
Well, you know, I mean, one thing might be just to share a passage from the book.
Okay.
Share one of the
That's
passages with listeners and finding one to share that might be good to, you know, maybe expresses, you know, message that we're trying to get out there. But here's one. I just found that it's Reflections on Empowerment and its Self-Worth. That's a subtopic, and it's a beautiful, what's the name of that one, Elise? It's the green one with the tree, with the forest and the light coming through. During that piece?
The title is Into the Light.
Into the Light. Into the Light. But here's a message that I think is important, and it goes like this. There is only one essential assumption to make in life. That is, you are worthy. By understanding the truth of that, you understand that you do not need to prove anything, control anything, force anything. All you have to do is share what you already are with others, and you will thrive. To believe otherwise is false to your true nature and causes needless pain and suffering for you and others. When you know you are worthy, you know that you do not lack anything, and you are truly abundant. You are here to grow, share, learn, and love. All the other stuff is just conditioning and learned behavior. All you need to do is let go of those falsities and come back to the truth of your worth.
Wow. That is so encouraging.
And while you're doing that, Phil, we're reading that. I was looking at that picture that you talked about, the one through the green one you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And it's just powerful. And I can really see how this could have such a great effect on people. The words and there's how many different, is there 82, is that what it says, that you have within there, 80, or is it, how many different paintings are featured within the book?
Oh.
36.
I think there's 36,
it says, 82 pages.
37?
Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are the ones that are on the website, right? A lot of them are the ones that are on the website.
Yes, a lot of them are shared on the website, and then there are, on the website there's also some additional works since we've finished the book. So that might be the thing where we need to do another book.
and the extraordinary thing about living in Asheville is that the vistas here are just incredible. The light, the mountains, mm-hmm. with the clouds, they just sort of, there is some energy and it just draws you in, and there's a power about it, and it's really being expressed in Elise's work now. I mean, the paintings in the book were done while we were not living here, and I think that she's entering a new phase with the work now. It's as though there is a theme of light in this book. There's a theme of light, and I think again with the words, and there is this light that draws you in, and I think that's what we're trying to give people, is this light, find their own light. To shine that light. And these paintings reflect that light. And she's even doing greater things with it, being in Asheville now here and just being inspired by the beauty all around this area.
Yeah, that area is amazing. And there is so much light that you can access through that, through nature. And Elise and Phil, you both bring it through so beautifully in your work.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I want to thank you both for coming on. And, of course, TJ, I always thank you.
You're welcome.
Coming on and
adding
in
TJ.
Your wisdom.
You're welcome.
Yes. It's wonderful to have had you with us. And is there anything else you want to add, TJ?
You know, I just, looking at what they're doing, I mean, there's so many different things I can take away, their journey,
mm-hmm.
the power of the paintings and the words together. It reminds me of, who's the fellow we interviewed? I was just going to look that up, that with his music, that he felt came from a place.
Oh, Ted.
Ted's music
Ted
was...
Ted Slavchinsky?
Yeah, he felt his music was healing others and that it was divinely inspired or coming from somewhere other than himself, mm-hmm. or a part of himself. And that's kind of what I was thinking when I'm listening to the two of you talk, that same thing, that music can heal us, paintings, words, many different things. So thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. You both, it's such a gift what you're bringing through for the world. And as TJ said, and a courageous thing to share your souls in the way you are.
Thank you so much. And I just want to add one other thing.
Sure.
People want to learn about the book. They can go to our website, which is www.messagestotheheart.com.
See, you're telepathic, too, because that would have been my next question. So I want you to know I send many blessings to all of you and TJ. Hug that little guy for me, okay?
I will. Thank you.
All right. And thank you, everyone, for listening.